So today I'm just going to endeavor to follow the Holy Spirit and share some things that the Lord wanted us to know today specifically. So I'm going to start with a reminder as to what the Lord said to us about this year. Do you remember what the Lord said to us about this year, what we are to expect? We're to expect great help from the great I am. And so my role with this type of thing is when I hear something is to, number one, to make sure that you know what the Lord has said. This is what the Lord has said. We need to value what the Lord says. We need to believe what the Lord says. We need to place our faith on what the Lord says. Amen. And so the Lord has said that great help from the great I am is coming this year. And then I don't know if y'all remember this, probably not, but when I gave this message the first week in January, I said that there was something else that the Lord had talked to me about, a statement he had made to me, and I wasn't going to share it yet. And I don't know that I can preach on it yet, but the next part of the statement was the glory of God. And so the Lord told me that this year, he's wanting to write some glory stories. Somehow that's connected with us being able to receive the help of God. Hallelujah. But I have my faith set for the glory of God, the glory of God being in our meetings, the glory of God happening. And so my role is to tell you what God says and then also endeavor as best I can to help you get all that the Lord is saying. I want you this year to get all of the help that's available. I want you to get all of the help that's needed. The Lord, when he told me that, of course, I told you that I had heard a sound. It was a holy sound. It was a sound that was going out from the earth to heaven. And then I heard a sound that was coming from heaven back to the earth. And I knew in that moment there was an exchange. There was an exchange. This life with God is about an exchange. Okay? And so there was an exchange, us, and it was a cry for help. It was like an SOS signal had come out from the people of God to heaven. But the good thing is that it just didn't go up. The sound of us crying out for help just didn't go up. There was a return in that sound coming back, and it was God, of course, responding. He said that help was on the way. Hallelujah. That great help was on the way. And so then he gave us a couple of scriptures I want to remind us of today. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. That means we have to be looking at something. We have to be looking for something. We have to be looking to God. We have to be looking to what the Lord has said, the promises of God, the plans of God. I will lift up to my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? From whence comes my help? Where does my help come from? Does my help come in my education? Come on, does my help come in me working just a whole lot harder and a whole lot more? Come on, does my help come from making somebody do something good for me? No, it goes on to say that my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Glory to God. In other words, the creator of all who made everything is the one who helps us. Glory to God. Then Psalm 46:1 says this, that our God is a refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Now, God will certainly help in trouble, but you have to remember this year, he was talking about helping us in all things, even in the daily things, the big things and the little things. But God is an ever-present help. I want you to know that help is available. Help is always there. God is looking to help us. And so we need to understand that God, it's an exchange. It's this life that we're having is a life with God. And when the Lord told me about to do this, I went back to look at my notes. And one thing I wrote here is it said that the Lord says to position ourselves. Coming in faith and expecting it now. And so this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about positioning ourselves for the help. Because help can be available that we don't access. Help can be available that we don't receive. And I don't want us in that category. Amen. I want us to experience this year all that we have, all that the Lord wants to do. And then later on I wrote, and the reason I talk about what I write is you have to understand me. This is how the Lord works with me. Usually when I get messages, they kind of come like a download. And the Lord like talks and I just write what the Lord says. And so I'm very specific. That's why I read a lot. because I want to be very specific about what the Lord said and how the Lord said it. And when I was having this exchange back at the beginning of January about this, I began to say to the Lord, I began to say from my spirit, as the Lord was telling me about this help, that great help from the great I am was coming, that it's on its way, that we can have it, but we need to position ourselves in faith, expecting it. I wrote this. I wrote that we need to want this. Amen. That means that this has to be somewhere in our thought patterns daily. This has to be somewhere in our speech a lot more than what we're watching on TV or the things that we're spending our time doing. We have to give some desire. Faith starts with desire. We have to have a desire to want to see the help of God. And sometimes when we think of help, we only think of help like in a dire need. And absolutely the Lord will show up in a dire need. But God is so much greater than that. Imagine what it could be like if you could get up every day and actually go through the day, everything that you did, and have supernatural help. For every task that you do, for everything that happens in your life, you can have supernatural help. God can redeem time for you. God can give you extra ability. God can give favor to you. There's all kinds of things that can happen. But we have to have a desire because that's the beginning of our faith. So I wrote, we need to want this, and then we need to expect this. So first we want it. Then because we want it and we know the Lord has said it, we can receive it as a promise. So now we're expecting it. Who's expecting help? If you're not expecting help, many times help might come and you might not even recognize that it's the Lord's help. Y'all remember there's a very famous little parable that gets thrown around on the internet and social media. It's several different things it's called. I like the one that's called Two Boats and a Helicopter. And it was that there was a flood that came and the waters were flooding and so much in his house that he crawled up on the roof and he was praying to God, God, send me help. God, I need help, expecting divine help. And so somebody comes by in a little canoe. And then he's up on the roof and they said, you know, come on down. And he said, no, I'm praying and the Lord's going to help me. And so the canoe went on by. And then the next thing you know, a little John boat comes, bigger boat, more people in it. And they're like, come on down, you know, we'll help. He's like, no, I'm praying, the Lord's going to help me. And so the boat drives off. Next thing you know, the waters keep rising. I mean, he's barely, you know, there's barely even water not on the roof. And so a helicopter comes by. And the helicopter shouts down, you know, let us throw you a rope and you climb up and get it. He's like, no, the Lord's going to intervene. The Lord's going to help me. And so the helicopter flies off and the man drowns. And he gets to heaven and he asks God, he said, God, I was praying. Why didn't you send me help? Why didn't you intervene? And the Lord said, I did send you help. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a John boat. I sent you a helicopter. We need to be sensitive enough to God to recognize the help of God, to recognize that help is a so much bigger concept, really, than what we've thought or perceived or understand. But we need to want it, we need to expect it, and then we need to actually receive it. Did you know there's something that in faith is not just believing. Did you know that? Faith is believing and receiving. When you pray, believe that you receive. Come on. We have to learn how to receive. We have to be in position to receive from the Lord this help that God is wanting to send. And so many years ago, I had a vision. So it was a Sunday morning. And I was on the stage at that time still leading worship, and we were coming out of place of worship. Worship is a great way to access the presence of God. Worship is a door to enter in to the presence of God. That's how we should treat worship. We're not just coming together to sing some words on a song. We're not just coming to say, I like that melody. Or the worship team did a good job. We're coming to worship God. I mean, we need to worship God. We need to worship God as if Jesus is standing in front of us and we're lifting up our voices in worship and adoration and praise to him. And so we were coming out of a time of worship and, you know, we had kind of sensed sometimes the presence of the Lord. We can all access that individually, but at times in a corporate setting, the presence of the Lord will come in a more corporate measure, and we can sense it on a corporate level. And that was beginning to happen. And all of a sudden, I stepped forward. I remember I just stepped forward, and when I stepped forward, I felt to drop to my knees. And when I dropped to my knees, instantly, I was in a vision. And so all of the people, I didn't see the people anymore. My eyes were closed, but I was in a vision. And what happened for me was at that moment, I saw just like the vast expanse of space, and I knew that it was the spiritual realm. And I knew that I was before the throne of God, even though I couldn't see, it's like the throne was behind me. So instead of the throne, this being the throne of God and me looking at the throne, I was standing with the throne of God behind me as if I was seeing from God's perspective of what God sees. And so just this vast, huge expanse of space, very full. I don't know how to describe it other than a spiritual substance. And all of a sudden, as I was watching, I began to see what I would call little spaces or little places that were carved, like a little niche that was carved, and there would be one, and it would come like this, and I knew that it was coming right to the throne of God. And then I would see another place that was carved. I began to see all these places that were carved out, and they were each separate. They weren't like all together. Each one had its own specific little niche, and it would come all the way to the throne of God, and then another one there, and then another one there. And then as I was looking at these, all of a sudden I began to see people stand in them. I would see one person standing in this little space here, this place here, and then over here I would see another person standing in this place here. And then some of the places were filled with a person, but some of the places were empty. And as I was watching this, I began to know in my spirit that God that had specifically carved. This is the spirit realm. So nobody gets to do anything in the spirit realm in relation to what's happening except God. It has to come from God. And I knew that it was God that had created each of those little places in which to stand. That God had made a place, this was what was coming in my spirit, that God had made a place, a space specifically for each saint. So God made a place for you. A place for that person to stand at his throne, and only that person, that the place or the space was for them and them alone. And I began hearing God calling us to come to that place. There was a call out from heaven for each saint to come. Now remember, I was seeing a person standing one and a person standing, but there were places that were empty. And I was hearing the call of the Lord to each saint to come take our place, to come stand in that place, to take our place in the spirit realm. And I heard the Lord I could hear the voice behind me coming from the throne to say to come boldly. To stand in your place, that specific place that I have made for you alone. And this is what the Lord said. He said it's a place to petition and a place to receive. He said it's a place to listen, a place to get answers. He said it's your place of position, of power, of authority, and a place of grace. And then he said, I'm calling you to come take your place before the throne. He's made a way, he's made a place, and he wants us to stand in that place of grace. Now I had this vision, and instantly when I came out of the vision, I heard the scripture, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What did God say? He said to come boldly to the throne of grace, which he has already made a place for you. He's made a place for you to stand. He's made a place for you to petition. He's made a place for you to use your authority. He's made a place for you to receive. And that's why this morning the Lord wanted me to remind you about this. There are some things that are coming in the help of God, or some things that God wants to send help in, that you are going to have to be in your position in order to receive. And some things of the Lord, we can receive from the Lord at all times, any place. We can receive things from the Lord while driving. We can receive things from the Lord while showering. We can receive things from the Lord at work. We can receive all kinds of things in all kinds of places. But there are some things that the only way you're going to get those things and receive those things is to be standing in your place. There's some things that you're only going to get, the help that you need, much help that we've cried out for, really need in our life. We're only going to get that by being in His presence. Amen. At the throne, by being in the Spirit. So, of course, to us, the throne is, we know the throne is a physical place, but to us, the throne is where we're gonna meet with God. We meet with God in the Spirit. We don't meet with God in our head. We don't meet with God just through futile words. We meet with God through our heart. And again, I just want to tell you this morning, there are some things the Lord wants to send to you, give to you, help you with, that you're going to have to understand, use your faith to access your place in the Spirit. And if you will get in your place in the Spirit, things will happen. Help will come. There are times that help that we don't even know that we need. When I was at the Hankins this weekend, I ran into some friends of mine, Patrick and Dee. He leads the worship at a lot of the Hankins meetings. And he came to find me, and we were talking, and he just wanted to tell me this story. And his story was that he and his wife, Dee, they travel a lot. And so they've been wanting to sell their house because they said their house was kind of like too big, too much for them. They really weren't there enough. But they're so busy that they don't even ever have time to sell the house. But they live in Dallas. They had decided they wanted to sell the house and they wanted to move to Tulsa because most of the ministry that they do is from that place. But they had kind of just tossed that up and it just seemed a little overwhelming to them because they didn't have time to do it. And so they had a big trip planned. It was a trip to Switzerland. And it was a very big trip. You know, they were supposed to go. They were supposed to lead worship. Various things happened. It was a trip with a couple of other ministers. And all of a sudden, Patrick said that Dee showed up one day, and she just said to him, "I can't go to Switzerland." And he said, "What do you mean you can't go to Switzerland? You know, this is planned. We've got tickets. It's everything set. You know, this is like a really big deal. Plus, they were excited about Switzerland. I mean, you know what's in Switzerland, right? Everybody knows what's in Switzerland. Swiss chocolate. If nothing else, then let's go to Switzerland for the Swiss chocolate. One time when I was going to Kenya, I flew through Swiss Airs just so that I could get the Swiss chocolate. Praise the Lord. I really did. And that they put a little one on your seat. I was like, "Could I have another, please?" Okay. But he's like, "What do you mean? You can't go to Switzerland?" She's like, "You can go. You know, you go ahead and fulfill the responsibilities and everything, but I just can't go." And he's like, "Why?" And she said, "I don't know." She said, "I was praying, and just as I was praying," she said, I got in the Spirit, and just inside me, I just feel like I can't go." She didn't hear a voice from the Lord. She didn't hear the Lord say, "No, don't go." She just had a sense in the Spirit that she couldn't go. And he said, "You know," he said, "this is like a big deal. I mean, to cancel, you know, for you to cancel, I mean, are you sure?" And she's like, "All I can say is just that I sense to not go." Well, Patrick told me, he said he really didn't want to go without Dee. And so when she said it to him, he began to sense that maybe he shouldn't go either. And neither one of them knew why. Well, make a long story short, they decided not to go. They made sure all their other things were arranged and people could step in and all that got done. But in the very, I think it was on day two when they were supposed to go to Switzerland, they had their neighbor come and offer to buy their house. And it was something with the neighbor had a timeline. And so they sold their house like that very week that they would have been in Switzerland. And the Lord opened up a house very supernaturally in Tulsa. They loved their home, and it's just like their current home, except maybe about a third smaller. And opened up for them. The Lord, you know what happened? The Lord sent them help. They didn't even know that they really needed help. They really weren't asking, quote, for help. Help is on the way. God's sending some help. But we got to be in position. She was in position just because she was faithful to spend some time praying to get in the spirit and then be sensitive enough to sense what the Lord wanted her to do and then be strong enough to do what the Lord wanted her to do. And I just, you know, I instantly commended her for being able to obey the Spirit, to first of all, recognize the Spirit and be able to obey the Spirit without understanding the full ramification. You know, all of us, we want like a word. We want God to speak a sentence. We want a major something to happen. But listen, we're going to have to get in the Spirit. If we will get in the Spirit, if we will come to the throne of God, take our place, stand in our place, amen. Supernatural things are going to happen. Supernatural things are going to happen from that place because it's your place to receive. Like I said, I understand. I know I've had it happen myself many times where we can receive lots of things in lots of places. But sometimes it takes us getting into the deeper place. Sometimes it takes us getting in the Spirit. Sometimes it takes us being able to get close enough to the Lord where we can discern between what's of our head or what's of our own desire versus what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting us to do or saying to us. And so we have to understand the significance that it says here. What's it say? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. And so when the Lord was reminding me about this, he was just telling me that much of his help in this season is going to come from this place. You need to be familiar with your place in the Spirit. We cannot live in these days, even as, quote, Spirit-filled people who speak in tongues, not being familiar with how to get into the presence of the Lord, of how to get into the Spirit, and taking some time to make that happen. And really the truth is if you'll get familiar and start practicing and actually doing it, the more you do it, the better you get at doing it. I'm talking about getting in the Spirit. I'm talking about not praying from just a head knowledge or something that you're reading in your Bible. I'm talking about in your heart and your heart connecting with the Lord. I'm talking about you being so sure that you are in the presence of God, that you are more aware of things in the realm of the Spirit than all the natural things that go around, that are around us. And this means shutting off TV. It means shutting off social media sometimes. It means finding a quiet place. You may need to fast. You may have to get up in the middle of the night. Yes. Jesus in the middle of the night pulled himself away to spend time in the presence. Jesus himself understood there were times he needed to be alone in the presence of God his Father. And that's why Jesus could say that he only said what he heard the Father say and only do what he saw the Father do. Why is that? Because he got that in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Y'all are still wanting help, right? See, this is where we get quiet when the responsibility, because there's a partnering with God. And yes, we want the help of God. And yes, God wants to send help. I believe that in some things, help has already been sent. And it's right now, it's in the heavenly places. You remember the story of Daniel? Daniel got in prayer. Daniel said some words. And then what happened? It says that instantly it was heard in heaven. The SOS signal for help has already been heard in heaven, I've told you. And it says that God sent the angel with the answer. But do you remember what happened? The angel got hung up. He had to fight some things in the heavenly place. But Daniel stood in his place. And so once that breakthrough came, Daniel was in position to receive the help that the Lord wanted to send. Help is on the way, but we got to make sure we're in position. We don't want help coming and we're like crying out to God for help. And then there went help and we didn't even recognize it. We don't want to be like the man that drowned on the top of the roof. We got to get in the Spirit. We got to know about getting in the Spirit. What comes from the throne of grace when we get there? Help. Help is what comes. Help is coming. If you'll take some time to get into the Spirit, help will come. And look at that scripture in Hebrews 4:16. Have you put that up? Hebrews 4:16 so that they can see it. It says, let us come boldly to the throne. This is our part. Where again, we are in partnership with the Lord. And then there's something required on our end. It's that we have to understand the value of really getting in the Spirit. How much help do you really want? How badly do you really want help? It's our responsibility to come boldly. So some of the things, this is the aspect of us being able to press through, us being able to push through. Actually, at the end of this vision, when I had this vision and the scripture came, there was someone here in the church as this was happening on the front row, one of our leaders, and they stood up and they said, push through, push through, push through to that place. So we're going to have to press through. Come on. There's a pressing sometimes to get to Jesus. But why? It's way worth it. Come on, the press, the push to get to Jesus, the laying aside of our life, our time. Come on, giving up some things. You may have to not go to an event because you sent something. I'm reminded right now of the story with Jesse Duplantis. Y'all remember that? He was going to have lunch with a pastor that he was ministering for. And he said before he left, he kind of felt like he shouldn't go. But, you know, it's lunch with the pastor. He didn't want to seem rude. And so we went. And he was there eating. And all of a sudden, I don't know if he was in the middle of eating or had barely started. But he just looked at the pastor and said, I got to go. I got to go. I got to get to my hotel room. And he went to his hotel and he opened his door. And the minute he opened the door and stepped in, he had that visitation where the Lord took him actually to heaven. What would have happened? Boy, do you know how much that encounter of heaven helped him? How much that changed his life? What he gleaned? What he understood? Every encounter we have with the Lord is so vital to our life. I mean, we should be learning things of God, understanding things of God. And those things should mark us. Every vision I've had has marked me in some way. Every encounter I've had has marked me. I'm still living off of those. Not just a good something in a moment. That changed Jesse's life. But it came because he was willing to do what the Spirit was prompting him to do, press through and get into a place. Hallelujah. So it's our job to come. It's our job to understand the value. And there's just some things of this help that if we want it, we're going to need to get in the Spirit. And sometimes it's a quiet time. Sometimes it's setting ourselves apart. There are times you can get in the Spirit in other places. I've been able to get in the Spirit before with my eyes open, being in other places. I've been able to get in the Spirit before sitting at the mall one time. I was sitting at the mall. I brought my nephew to the mall and his friend, and they were wanting to do something. And I sat down on a bench, and I needed to do something with the Lord. I was getting ready to preach somewhere. I had no idea what the Lord wanted me to preach. This was actually the very first sermon I was ever going to preach. I had no idea what to preach, what to do, how to even do it. And I knew I was on a time crunch. And so I just sat on the bench right there with people all around and things going on and God in the Spirit. And I wrote word for word. It came like a download. Just me. It was like me and God were sitting at the mall on a bench. And he just word for word gave me a message. Hallelujah. So we need to value getting in the Spirit. Once we get in the Spirit, when you get in the Spirit, when you get in this place, all kinds of things happen. The Spirit of seeing and knowing. I mean, I remember one time I was on a plane to Peru and just praying, and I was praying. You know, we start out from the natural place. We close our eyes, we give our heart, and we just pray. But then there comes a time sometimes you just slip over. And I remember I was on the plane and I was just praying in tongues, you know, quietly because I had someone next to me, but very quietly, but I was purposeful. And all of a sudden I just slipped into the Spirit. And when I slipped into the Spirit, I saw something. I saw a leg grow out. I saw a leg grow in the Spirit. And I knew when I got to Peru that in some meeting, somebody's leg was going to grow. And sure enough, a lady had her leg grow out. Hallelujah. And she was an unbeliever. She got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all the same day. But that help came. Her help came. It was to me a help because I'd already seen it in the spirit. So now when I got up and I sensed to ask who here had one leg shorter than the other, oh, my faith was secure because I had already seen it in the spirit. I wasn't trying to discern, is this the spirit? Is this me? Can I be? No, no. No, I was confident because I had already seen it in the spirit. We need to be able to get in the spirit, see things, know things, to be in his presence. What happens when we get in the spirit? We come into the presence of Jesus. You may hear him, you may not. You may see him, you may not. You may sense him, you may not. But I guarantee you, because the Bible says if we draw near, come on, if we really draw near, then Jesus draws near. So he is there. And when we're in the presence of Jesus, everything changes. All kinds of help gets stirred up to make things change. When we're in the presence of Jesus, it says we're changed. Many times the change we want or the help that we need isn't the outward thing. It's something on the inside of us. First, something of us has to change. Maybe our perspective needs to change. Maybe our doubt needs to go away. Maybe our faith needs to be strengthened. But when we get in the presence of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we're changed. We're changed from glory, not just changed like, changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. When we get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so, knowing we need to be in the Spirit, knowing we need to come and take our place, remember there is a place. Look at yourself right here. Do this to yourself and say, God has made a place for me. Me personally, in the spirit. Hallelujah. We have to have faith in that, and then faith of how to access, faith of how to come boldly. What do we do? We need to understand that when we draw near to the Lord, that the Lord is there. We need to have faith in that. We need to absolutely have faith every time that we draw near that Jesus is drawing near. And we need to be able to take the consciousness of our mind toward the reality of that truth. I've told this many times before, but when I was first spirit-filled and learning about these types of things, learning how to pray, and you know, sometimes when you're learning how to pray and you're praying, it just seems like you're praying by yourself. And so, you know, it can make your mind want to wander. It can make you feel like nothing. But prayer is a conversation. You do know that, right? Prayer actually means to communicate with the Lord. Prayer, not just words that we say, not just needs that we rip off. It's supposed to be a communication. And so if I'm going to communicate, let me just put it this way. If I'm going to communicate with my husband, I'm not going to go over here just in a thing and just start talking. No, what am I going to do? I'm going to go get, hey, babe, face to face. Hey, babe, we're going to talk face to face. So first of all, you have to understand you do need to believe that you can get face to face with the Lord. That really, as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And so when I was learning to pray, I would get a chair. I would get a blank chair, and I would sit the chair across from me. Because I'm going to pray. Now, I'm going to have communication with the Lord. And communication means sometimes being quiet, me listening, but me expecting something. And not expecting necessarily words. It doesn't have to be sentences. Expecting to sense something. Expecting just to know something. Expecting in my heart to know when I've prayed through and the note of victory comes. Aha! And I don't know here what the answer is yet, but I know that I have prayed. I've already prayed it out. I've received it. And so I would set a chair across from me, and I would communicate as though Jesus was in the chair. You know, God did give us an imagination. And you ought to be using your imagination for some spiritual things rather than all the crazy things that you let your mind imagine about what's bad and what's going to go wrong and is this going to happen and what did that mean, what they did when they really said that, were they talking bad about me? You need to stop letting your imagination do all that and start putting your imagination on some good things, some God things. Like talking to Jesus, like being in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we do have to understand Galatians 3:5. Here's another one I always use in understanding this. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Now, who supplies the Spirit? Jesus supplies the Spirit. Who works miracles among us? Jesus works them through the Spirit of God. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's a rhetorical question, meaning you should know the answer, and the answer is by faith. It's by faith that we access. It's by faith that we come to the throne. It's by faith that we get into the presence. If you don't believe you can, if you're waiting for a sense or something to tell you, you're missing it and it's not going to happen. It's by faith. We have to believe before we see or sense or... So we do it by faith. We take these scriptures and we say, now right here, I'm coming by faith. And because I'm coming by faith, the Lord right here is supplying the Spirit. I'm going to connect with the Holy Spirit. I'm getting in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have to do it by faith. Faith in our heart, faith in our words. When I was first at all of this, and I still do these things. It's not that I don't do them anymore. But when I was first learning to pray and learning the importance of praying, I would use faith from my mouth to create what I wanted about myself. I would walk around all the time, say, I am a prayer. I pray always. I pray in the Spirit. I love to pray. I live a life of prayer. I didn't sit back and say, I'm just really not hungry. Lord, give me some hunger to pray. Lord, come on. You're asking the Lord to do something for you that the Lord is expecting you to do. He's telling us to come. He's not telling you to pray, Lord, make me hungry so that I can come before the throne. No, he's telling you to go ahead and come. You got to do it by faith because it's important, because it's necessary for your life, because Jesus already made a way for you to get to the very throne of God. Whoa! Listen, if you can get to the throne of God, you can get anything. You can get everything. So we do it by faith. We have to do it by faith. We're faith people. Pastor just said it this morning. If you're a faith person, put your hand in the air. Come on, everybody, every hand should go up right now. Even if you're doing it by faith, come on. We're faith people. We live by faith. We pray by faith. We receive by faith. We please God by our faith. Hallelujah. Well, faith in what? Faith in the Scripture, of course. But I want to talk about getting into this place. I want to talk about one of the ways. I mentioned this morning, worship sometimes is a door into the Spirit. But there's another entry into the Spirit, into this place, and it is through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. We need to have faith in the blood of Jesus. We need to use the blood of Jesus to get there. And then we need to use the blood of Jesus while we're there. Pleading the blood is really a valid something in the Scripture. It means I'm resting my case on the blood of Jesus. I'm resting my case on the one who shed his blood for me and bought me full redemption. I'm not coming by works. I'm not coming by merit. I'm not coming because I prayed a lot, because I believed real hard. I'm not coming because even just because the Scripture has said, I'm coming because that Scripture was purchased for me on the blood of Jesus Christ. And I plead the blood. Having faith in the blood, exercising the blood, applying the blood. Not just having a silent belief in the value of the blood, not just acknowledging the blood when we come on Communion Sunday. Thank God for that. We do need to do that together, but you need to be doing that at home. I'm talking about valuing the blood. The blood gave us entrance to God. It gave us access to God. It gave us access to this life that we live, the kingdom within us. All through the blood, the holy blood, the sinless blood, the precious blood of Jesus. There's wonder working power in the blood. Glory to God. The value of the blood, not just to sing about it, not just to take communion as a religious act, but to have a revelation of it so as to apply it. I don't see how a week could go by that you wouldn't be doing something with the blood, saying something with the blood, pleading the blood. Come on, I come in the blood of Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. I just loved that Pastor Mark got up that whole night. I was wondering, I was hoping, of course everybody did, you know, he's a wonderful preacher and everybody loved what went on, but I was sitting there thinking probably the Lord had him do this just for me. It was so wonderful, but he told a story. He's told this story, very powerful story. He told a story of a pastor, and he said that the pastor said that one time for 2 solid years, every Sunday he preached on the blood of Jesus. For 2 years he preached on the blood of Jesus. You know, and when this story was being told, my first thought was that I bet there were people that came in and when he started preaching, they'd be like, oh, he's going to preach on the blood again. You know, that's what people used to do to Brother Hagin when he would come. And he would open up the Bible and he'd say, turn to Mark chapter 11. And people would be like, don't be one of those. Don't be one of those that when a story comes, you're like, I've already heard the story. If those stories are coming from God, they're eternal. They live forever. They have power forever. You'll miss revelation. You'll miss the power of something. You'll miss God being able to do something for you because you have discounted or counted of low value. And he said that this man said, this pastor said that for 2 years, every Sunday, he preached on the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I was like, wow. To be able to preach on the blood. I don't know if he preached the same thing a lot, but praise the Lord. Sometimes you need to hear it. Faith comes by hearing and having heard the word. Hearing, not heard one time. You heard my vision of the throne a year ago, but you need to hear it again. Because I guarantee you when the Lord tells me to tell you something, there's something in it for you, something fresh, something new, something that will help you, something that will give you revelation, something that will change your life. It doesn't matter how much you've heard it, it's hearing. And sometimes the truth is you need to be hearing it over and over again. Sometimes I know that you need to be hearing it. You might not think you need to hear it, but I know that you need to be hearing it over and over and over again. And so he preached on the blood for 2 years. For 2 years. And that's like a heavy topic. That's like a deep topic. I've had people tell me before, don't talk too much about the blood of Jesus. It's too deep for people. No, because we're going deeper. Come on, we're going deeper. Here at Houston Faith Church, we are going deeper. We're not going to stay on just the shallow ground. But this pastor said he preached on the blood for 2 years. And he told Pastor Mark, he said, I have the greatest miracles in my church. The greatest miracles, the greatest manifestations, the greatest help that came to the people during that 2 years because they became blood conscious. You need to be blood conscious. You need to be blood of Jesus conscious. More than your soul conscious, more than your guilt conscience, more than sin conscious. You need to be blood conscious. When you get blood conscious, man, everything changes. Because the blood bought everything. The blood did everything. There's not anything that the blood left undone. Nothing. The blood took care of everything. Past, present, and future. The blood that speaks for you, the blood that covers you, the blood that protects you, the blood that keeps you, the blood that provides for you. The blood that heals you, the blood that delivers you. You need to be blood conscious. You need to value the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Now look at this, look at this. Oh, this is so exciting. Now remember, we're talking about accessing, getting into the Spirit, taking our place, coming into the presence of the Lord. This is for everybody. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for leaders. It's not just for special people. It's for everybody. God Himself made a place for you. And you know, one thing that God showed me about that is that I can't stand in your place. Oh, it's so special to have a place, to have a place that God has made himself for you and him to meet. Do you know how special that is? So look at this in Hebrews 9, chapter 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, talking of Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hallelujah. First of all, we got redemption. Hallelujah. Because of the blood, we're redeemed. Come on, because of the blood, eternal, forever, never ending, never ceasing, redemption. Redemption from the devil, redemption from the world, redemption from evil works. But look at this. Jesus entered the most holy place by what? With his own blood, his own blood. If Jesus entered into the holy place, into the heavenly place, into the realm of God with his blood, so can you and I. Come on, Jesus is our example. We don't have to shed our blood. He already did that. And that's why it says he once and for all. He did it. His blood speaks for all of us, corporately and individually. But look, with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place. So if Jesus entered into the heavenly place by the blood, we can enter into the Spirit by the blood. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, therefore who? Brethren. Every believer, every brethren, not just preachers, come on. Not just special people, not just the prayers. Brethren, look at your neighbor and say, I'm a brethren. Come on. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brethren, we can boldly enter the Holy of Holies, into the Spirit, into the throne place, into the presence of God by the blood. By the blood, we use the blood. I plead the blood. God, thank you for the blood. I apply the blood. I sprinkle the blood. I come by the blood. It's an invitation. The blood of Jesus gave us the invitation to come. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus gave us that invitation to come. To enter boldly into the holy place by the blood. Didn't Hebrews 4:16 say, let us come boldly into the throne of grace? But again, having boldness to enter, this is our part. Jesus already paid for it, gave us access to what God created, a place for us. Shed his blood. It's an invitation. That place in the Spirit, being in the Spirit, getting in the Spirit, that place in his presence, experiencing his presence, is a place for you. It's waiting. It's waiting. Waiting. And this morning it's calling. Come. Come and receive help from the great I am. Come. It's a place of receiving. Hallelujah. Again, if we can get there, if we can get where, if we can get to that place, at the throne before God, if we can get to that place in the Spirit. The Apostle John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, Revelation. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's something that every one of us should be able to say. I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit today. Hallelujah. If we can get there in the presence of Jesus, we can get anywhere. We can obtain anything. We can find all mercy. We can obtain all help, find all help, get grace, new grace, sufficient grace, overcoming grace, life-changing grace, grace that takes you beyond you and what you can do and what you know, grace that is from God. We get that from that place, from that place. That's where grace comes. More grace. How many of you need more grace? Come on, more grace. I need more grace. I need grace for every day. Grace is the ability of God. It's the unmerited favor of God. We need it. We need it every day. The Bible says that the grace of God was upon Jesus, and of the fullness of his grace we have all received. So it's already there. It's just a matter of receiving it, receiving it. We have to do that in the spirit. We have to do that in our heart. We do it by faith with the blood. In the Old Testament, they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and then God would meet with them there. Well, the Lord told a minister friend, he said, I will meet with you on the mercy seat and commune intimately. How many of you would like to come out of a prayer time thinking, I just met with God? Right? Isn't that in the New Testament with the disciples, wouldn't that happen? People would meet them and they'd say, wow, something's different about them. They've been with God. Hallelujah. So he told the minister, he said, I'll meet with you at the mercy seat and commune intimately. And so the thought is then, of course, where is the mercy seat today? This is the Old Testament. I'll tell you where the mercy seat is. It's wherever faith in the blood of Jesus is. It's wherever we use the name of the blood of Jesus, wherever we apply the blood of Jesus, the Lord will meet us. If you'll start applying the blood, using the blood, speaking the blood, the Lord will meet with you. He'll be required to meet with you. Come face to face with you, not naturally, but in the spirit. In the spirit, we can be face to face with God. Y'all are way not as excited about this as you should be. Hallelujah. When we apply the blood, he will meet with us, and he will meet with us every time. Every time, not just one time, not just sometime, not just in a dire time, not just in a strategic time. He will meet with us time and time and time again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we're in the spirit, when we're in the presence, we've come before the throne. Whether we've accessed it through the blood, whether we've accessed it through worship, how there are many different ways to access, to come in to the presence, but we're there, we're waiting, we're listening, we're confessing, we're talking, we're pleading the blood. We're bringing God's promises before him. In the spirit, as we do this, whether it's praying in tongues, which our head does not understand, but are actually words in the spirit, or whether we're making declarations or quoting scripture, confessing scripture, what is happening is things are happening in the spirit. Things are really happening. Angels are being loosed on assignment to go, to do, to bring help, to bring assistance. Remember, Daniel was praying. He was in the spirit. He was saying some things, and those words were heard, and divine assistance, divine help was sent. It brings about a change. It brings, you know, we say this all the time, every change in the natural first happens in the spirit. Everything that happens in the seen realm first happens in the unseen realm. We need to be giving some attention to the unseen realm and realizing that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real, that it's not powerful, that it's not important, that, wow. Since I'm talking about Mark, I'll just tell one of his quotes, or since I've mentioned his name. Remember, he said this? He said that the Lord told him that if you knew what happens in the spirit when you rejoice, if you knew what happens in the spirit when you rejoice, you would do nothing. If you knew in the spirit, if you knew what was happening every time you you would rejoice every day. You would rejoice at all times. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you knew what happens when you use the blood of Jesus, when you plead the blood of Jesus, come on. When you have faith in the blood, you'd be doing it every day. You'd be using it every day. So let's see, we're in verse Hebrews 10:19. Goes on, look at 22, says, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Glory to God. Come on, we can come before God upright, clean, not conscious of our failures, our faults, our lacks, our sins. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Come on, when you get in the Spirit, you're going to find God declarations. Come on, you're going to find words coming out of you. You're going to be having divine utterance, speaking from the Spirit into the Spirit. And things are going to change. Help is going to come. Come on, we do not have to have the same old year. We do not have to have the same old life. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to value the blood. Use the blood. Apply the blood. Plead the blood. I plead the blood. You need to plead the blood over your life. You need to plead the blood over your spouse. You need to plead the blood over your children. You need to plead the blood over your church, over your pastors, over your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to plead the blood over the city. You need to plead the blood over America. You need to plead the blood over everywhere that you have something in your heart. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. There's life in the blood. There's miracles in the blood. There's help in the blood, in the blood, in the blood. Your divine help is through the blood of Jesus. Putting God in remembrance of that blood. Didn't he say that? Put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. We need to put God in remembrance. That blood speaks for me. That blood goes before me. That blood is already there. It's already obtained it. It's already bought it. It's already purchased it. Hallelujah. The blood did it. The blood did it. Praise God. The blood did it. The blood did it. The blood worked then. The blood works now. The blood is still valid. Come on, there's victory in the blood. There's victory in the blood, in the blood, in the blood. Turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to just show you this. It's kind of, I mean, it's about the blood, but it's just a little side note. You know, these are not the days to be... These are certainly not the days to be playing church. These are not the days to be walking from a distance with the Lord. Listen, things are happening. The world is crazy. The world is dark. It's only going to get darker and crazier. And if you find yourself, you know, teetering the line all the time, you know, here's the light and here's the dark, and I'm just going to, you know, Jesus, of course, is in the very center of light. He's in the very center of good. He's in the very center of holy. And if we find ourselves, you know, teetering, I got to play around with the world. I got to play around with ungodly relationships. I've got to watch things that are unholy. I've got to participate in sin because, you know, this is what the culture does. Everybody and their brother sleeps with everybody and their brother in the culture. Everybody goes out and gets drunk. It's what the culture does. I'll go ahead and just play along on the edge. You better not be walking on that edge. You walk on that edge, there's a possibility you slip off. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen with Christians. A sin jump up and take hold of you and latch on to you. And because you're so far away from Jesus, you still love Jesus, you still believe in Jesus, but you're so far away from Jesus that you can't get out of that sin. And it'll take you down a very dark, ugly path that is not God. We weren't created for that. We were created for the good life, the abundant life, the holy life. We got to walk tight to the Lord. And if you're going to walk tight to the Lord, you're going to have to put some value on the blood of Jesus. You're going to have to realize next time you want to stay in bed and don't want to go to church, or you just think you can do church at home, Or the next time you give things priority that are outside the kingdom of God, you need to realize right there the value of what Jesus bought for you. Jesus bought the body of Christ for you. He bought the church for you. He bought a life for you. And if we're not living it, then we're devaluing it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Look at this. For if the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If you're going to serve the living God, serve him fully, serve him acceptably, serve him with everything that you have and who you are, which is our reasonable service, you're going to have to value the blood. You're going to have to plead the blood. You're going to have to see something and say, oh no, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. Come on, the blood, it's the blood that'll keep you safe. It's the blood that'll keep you holy. It's the blood that'll keep you unspotted from the world. It's the blood, it's the blood that'll keep you close to the family of God, in church all the days of my life, for every Sunday, for 50 years. Yes, how about 75 years? How about 100 years? I wrote this, weak Christian living equals weak revelation and application of the blood. If you're living weak, if you're struggling in your walk with God, you don't have enough revelation and application of the blood. If you have defeated living, there's victory in the blood, right? So if we have revelation of the blood and are applying the blood, and why do I keep saying apply? Because it's anything like faith. It's not just a silent something you have in your heart. You have to use the blood. You have to speak the blood. You have to value it from your heart. But if you have defeated living, then there's not enough use or application, I could say, of the blood of Jesus in your life. Why? Because Revelation 11 says this, and they overcame him, meaning the devil, evil works, the world, everything that is contrary to God, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the blood and the word of their testimony. That means belief in the blood, faith in the blood, speaking of the blood, coming out of your mouth, applying the blood, pleading the blood, sprinkling the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, so much God wants to help us. Again, if we can get in the Spirit, then even the words of God, the intents of God, I heard it said this way, for every divine intention, there has to be a divine response. And so if we can get in the Spirit, if we can get in the presence of God, and we can come with the words, the intent of God for a season for us, then God can work with us, give us revelation, help things happen, whereby we can then receive all of the help. God wants to help us so much. We're living at such a low level. I mean, really, most of us only run to God for help when it's a really something, like it's a something. But God wants to be present. He wants to be with us. He wants to be alive. He wants to be active in every part of our life, every day. He wants to help you at home. He wants to help you at work. He wants to help you in relationships. He wants to help in every way. Not just help even just to get something, but help to change, help to progress, help to come up higher. Help to learn to live in the place of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy, everywhere we go, every day. He wants to help us with that. He's so good. He's so good. He's always up to something good. God is always up to something. I'm glad you chose that song. That was in the spirit today. That was, you know, that's one thing we look for. You know, musicians, they ought to be able to tap into the spirit. Know what's to come. I love that. We could have sang that over and over and over again all morning. God's up to something good. He's up to something good for you. He's up to something good and helping you, bringing great help, great help, great help. I declare great help. And I'm going to preach on the great I am. I'm going to remind you who the great I am really is. We're not talking about man's help. We're talking about help from God Almighty. And there's a lot of glory attached to it. We're going to see the glory of God. We are seeing the glory of God. We are going to have the glory of God. I want when you get to the end of this year, you to have some glory stories where you have documented. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, I preached myself happy. I don't know about you. Praise God. I thought we might demonstrate some today. We might spend a little time. You know, that's coming the day. There's coming the day very soon when we need to be able to, as a corporate body, get into some of these things and do them. There needs to be a place where we can, with this many people, get into the spirit together and somebody not be sitting and twiddling their thumbs or thinking, what's happening here? This is boring. No, no, no. I'll come around and bump you on the head, tap you on the head. You know, in South Korea, back in the day when Youngie Cho had all the big prayer, they pray 24 hours. And I mean, you can hear the prayer. My minister friend's been there. And she said, you can hear the prayers like two blocks down the street. They're praying so fervently, but you get in there, I mean, they are praying, but they have a moderators, what they call them, and they walk around with sticks. Sticks. And if anybody's, That's what it needs to look. That's what you should look like sometimes when you come out of the spirit. Listen, the spirit is all not refined either, American church. You're going to have to learn to respond, yield. Sometimes you're going to need to shout. You're going to need to run. You're going to need to dance. You're going to need to lay prostrate on the floor. You're going to need to cry. You're going to need to cry out. Not just sit in your chair and think that's a good message. Come on, there's more to it than that. Come on, there's a response to it. I'm getting it. I'm having it. I'm doing it. This is my moment. I'm entering in. That's it. The realm of the Spirit is so divine, but it is mine, mine, mine. Hallelujah. And coming out of all, listen, I love the altar ministry. That's a valid ministry. Sometimes we need people to join hands with us. But there's times you ought to be able to get in the presence, get in the Spirit yourself. And get some answers. Here at Houston Faith Church, we're not just taking children. We're growing people up to stand up in the full stature of Christ. Where we can hear God ourselves, get answers ourselves, receive ourselves. And, of course, do it together. But your first thought every week ought not to be, I can't wait for the line so I can run up there and get some. Your first thought is, I'm going to get in the Spirit. Because even when you come up here, you have to receive spiritually. Somebody can pray a God-ordained, I mean, in the moment, the power of God, the anointing of God, and you not receive it. But if you're walking down that aisle, I'm getting in the Spirit. I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my mind. I plead the blood over my heart. I'm open to the blood of Jesus. You getting yourself ready. Then when somebody prays for you, look out, look out, look out, look out. Hallelujah, miracles are going to happen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.